Kevin and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, Bridgestone Arena, season finale tonight, Preds and Dallas Stars, right here at 7 o'clock. Barry Trotz, in 1 hour, will join us. We got a lot to discuss, kind of the autopsy of the season with Barry Trotz at 5 o'clock. And because of that, Caroline Fenton, Joe Rexroad, kind enough to move up for a little Jared versus Joe. Caroline Fenton is here, back from her many work sabbaticals. Caroline, good to talk to you.
My many work sabbaticals? I was gone for an actual work event. Now, there was one I was gone on adult spring break, but I was actually working for one of them.
So one work trip and then one?
One bachelorette trip.
Party. Joe Rexroad is here with us. Joe, have you gotten your real ID yet?
About 10 minutes ago, after checking in at 9 something this morning.
I have a serious question. You know you can just use your passport, right?
That expired. I've screwed up. I've screwed this up all the way around.
Yeah, that's a problem. With that, it's time for Jared versus Joe.
Big discussions.
What's the deal with this quad?
Bigger arguments.
I was right. I had my finger on the pulse of this team.
It's so dumb.
It's time.
Oh, it was the cap. Cap, cap, cap.
For Jared versus Joe.
For you, this is actually kind of well-reasoned.
Brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle, and by Pella Windows and Doors.
We make the rules around here now.
Now on Stillman and Company.
Let's get it on!
Okay, Caroline, the floor is yours.
Got a lot to say about a lot of things, but I will start with you, GB Joe. Who is in worse shape after Nico Gate? Nico himself or Tennessee?
Yeah, I've got to go with Nico on that. Look, Tennessee is, we'll see what they do in the portal. I mean, it's possible that they could pry a good quarterback away from somebody. It's possible that Jake Merklinger could be really good this year. I think that's probably, you know, a little bit of a stretch. I mean, you're going to take a step back from Nico to him if that's what you end up doing at starting quarterback. So for a year, Tennessee takes a hit here. And maybe for 2 years, Nico might have been a 4-year guy. But Nico himself, Jared's very hell bent on. We must blame it. It has to be only Nico. They screwed up, man. They screwed up big time. And so I see Colin Cowherd is reporting UCLA. No one's going to put that dollar amount out there. They're going to hold that very close to the vest. I would be willing to bet some amount of money that it's less than what he was making at Tennessee. And it's just a huge mistake. So if it is UCLA, now you go to a bad team. So you have less support around you. You have less opportunity to showcase your talents. You have to learn a new offense. You're trying to now revive a moribund program as opposed to trying to take a playoff program to the next level within the same system, with the same OC, with the same quarterback coach, with the same head coach. It's a huge bag fumble and misplay by Nico and his dad and his half agent. And so, I mean, I don't think it's close on this one. I think it's definitely Nico.
So,
and did you see what Cowherd reported as to why he's leaving Tennessee and going to UCLA?
Oh, the spin from the family about the offense.
The offense. It was the offense.
Yeah, it's garbage spin.
Because UCLA had such an explosive offense last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just trying to anything they can to try to damage control this situation that they botched.
So I think this is a disastrous problem for Nico. And if Nico ever had any hope of making it to the NFL, which I think is questionable, but if Nico had any hope of making it to the NFL, this is going to be a big discussion. If he ever is up there and has a chance at going in the draft, they're going to talk about this every day in the lead up to the draft. But, you know, Urban Meyer just came out and said Tennessee's screwed. And I don't think Urban Meyer is the smartest guy in the world, but he is a good football coach. And, you know, I wonder if Tennessee fans will accept being bad this year. Because as of right now, Tennessee's schedule includes a bunch of games that could hurt them if they don't have a quarterback. And while it would be easy to say, well, they'll go in the portal and they'll go get a quarterback, Trevor came on the show yesterday and he said, you're not going to be able to have a quarterback up to speed with no spring practice in this offense with these receivers that's ready to go this season. He said it's just not likely to happen. And I think they're going to be stuck with Jake Merklinger, who is probably a backup, and George McIntyre is probably not ready. And I hope they don't throw him out there before he is, because that could be a whole problem in and of itself. Tennessee is going to lose this year to Georgia. They're going to lose to Alabama. They're going to lose to Florida. That's three. But I'm worried about Tennessee losing to Syracuse. I'm worried about Tennessee losing to Vandy. I'm worried about Tennessee losing to Arkansas again. Like, I am worried about Tennessee this year going 6-6. And if in October and November, if Josh Heupel will be able to sit there and say, hey, remember when I took a stand in April? It's okay. If Tennessee fans today can promise in November that they'll accept a crappy year, then I think the answer is Nico. But if Tennessee fans do as Tennessee fans do, and that always filters to that program one way or another, we saw them veto a coaching hire. This could be very dangerous for Tennessee football with a very volatile fan base.
So if Tennessee fans don't promise to just accept whatever crap they're served this fall, then you think it's Tennessee over Nico.
It could be a problem. Again, what's Nico? Yeah, Nico's losing
problem,
the money.
But again, the question is which side, okay? You think that one bad year, I mean, I agree. There's going to be some Tennessee fans that right now are like, yay, Josh, and then they're going to be like, oh, this sucks. But that still doesn't tip the scales in favor of Tennessee being the biggest loser of this situation. It's one year.
But Nico.
And I don't even necessarily buy your NFL thing. If Nico's good enough to be in the NFL, if he plays to that, yeah, of course, like at the combine, they'll grill about this and people will talk about it in the media. But if he's good enough, man, the NFL, they'll take you if you're good enough.
Well, they'll take anybody
in the
NFL.
Will he be good enough?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. He's hurt, to me, where he's hurt himself with the NFL is in the next steps, right? Because he was on course to continue learning an offense and getting better in it. He was, again, he had continuity. He was working toward becoming that level. I think he has the physical ability to be an NFL quarterback. I absolutely think that. But I don't know. I don't know if he's going to find that. And now, I think that the college teams, and again, if he signed with UCLA, then UCLA is a great example of a desperate team that's like, I guess we'll take Nico. Madden, his little brother, ditched us for Arkansas, but let's take Nico. But again,
so
he's already hurt himself with the NFL by having to settle for UCLA. That's where he's hurt is, you know, now he's derailed his progress.
Yeah, but that has a different offense, a better offense for Nico, apparently. My thing is this with Tennessee. And when it comes to UT, if they can accept, hey, Nico screwed up our season and we're not going to, you know, we're not going to rush George McIntyre out there before he's ready. We're not going to try to sell our souls for some prospect to save us. We're going to have to take our medicine this year. If Tennessee can accept that, then it's absolutely Nico. But I don't know if Tennessee can accept that. And with that program, it leads to some of the weirdest and craziest, you know, just craziest fan screw-ups that lead to program setbacks. So for right now, I'd say, hey, like Urban Meyer said.
What would happen, Jared? So if they're mad, what do you think is going to happen? Are they going to start throwing mustard bottles at Danny White's office until he fires Josh Heupel? Like, what do you think?
They could ruin the quarterback. They could lose all faith in the coach. We've seen Tennessee fans. I remember when they gave Jeremy Pruitt that contract extension, and I said, why? I said, he's doing an okay job. And when you're doing an okay job, you should get to keep your job. You shouldn't get a raise. You shouldn't get an extension, but you shouldn't be fired. And I said, and also, you know, the way that it works in college sports, these fans, they'll turn on you in 5 minutes. And I mean, that day I got that, you don't understand, Jared, that Philip Fulmer's doing this so that Pruitt knows he's the guy. And they're doing this so that when Alabama calls, when Saban retires, Pruitt won't want to take the job. And I said, uh-huh, sure. And
I'm so glad we could get a
three months later, they were making up reasons to fire him. And they did. And so, again, like, it's a very volatile fan base. And I just don't know if this volatile fan base is going to be accepting of a terrible season if Jake Merklinger is the quarterback.
A lot of them won't. By the way, it's Merklinger. It's not Merklinger. Work on that a little bit.
Spent all week not being able to say Nico's last name.
I understand, so I'm trying to help you now. Look, a lot of the fans will flip, absolutely, if it's bad, if it's ugly. They'll say, see, we should have reconciled with Nico and all that stuff. But again, I don't see how that compares to a bad season. Fans mad at Heupel. He's not going to be, he's not going to be in the hot seat. Like, it's still on Josh Heupel to prove that he can develop an offensive line. Still on him to prove that he can develop wide receivers and get it and still get a defense to a higher level, although last year was a good step defensively. Like, he still has to prove that he's a coach that can take them to the highest level. But the fans being mad at him next year is not a worse outcome than what Nico has done to his career.
Done to his career how? He could go to UCLA and thrive.
I mean, a lot of things could happen, Jared.
I mean, here's the other thing, too. Nico is going somewhere where he'll never be heard from again. And I saw DJ Uiagalelei go to Oregon State. Not one person watched him play, and apparently he was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, people watched him play again, and it was like, nope, 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 he sucks. I mean, I think Nico could actually improve a little bit by playing lesser competition and having less pressure on him.
He's in the Big Ten. Oregon State was in the dying Pac-12 that year. UCLA is in the Big Ten. They're going to be on TV this year, man.
No, they're not. What games are they going to put on TV? I mean, real TV. I'm not talking about Big Ten Network. When is Fox bringing Big Noon Kickoff to UCLA?
Here is their schedule next year. Utah, UNLV, New Mexico, Northwestern, Penn State, Michigan State, Maryland, Indiana, Nebraska, Washington, USC. Not a lot of marquee matchups.
I don't see Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt in Nico's future.
No, but that's still not the same as the relegation of the dead Pac-12 2 years ago, right?
That's true.
I mean, I think they're both kind of witness protection-y-ish. Caroline, what's next?
Okay, Jared, you go first. Is this whole Nico situation proof that the system is broken or Nico's decision-making was bad? Is it a Nico or a system problem?
It's a Nico problem. Nico is relying on a crazy dad who doesn't know what he's doing because Nico hasn't grown up, and that's why he's still wearing Sesame Street pajama pants at 20 years old. It's not a system problem. Right now, again, this quarterback leaving and the entire team's championship hopes, or whatever hopes Tennessee had, relying on this quarterback and him holding them over the barrel for more money and leaving into the spring portal, this is only happening at one place. This isn't happening at Florida. It's not happening at Ohio State. It's not happening at Vanderbilt. It's only happening with this one guy in this one place at Tennessee. And yet I saw the media, Joe, your crew, you people talking about, the system is broken and we got to have rules and we need to have more regulation and we need to have.
Show me the link. Give me the link.
Oh, you all been crying about it. And my big thing is this. How is this any different than any other regular job? Forget about sports. Forget about the NFL and how that works and the NHL and how that works. Those are collectively bargained sports. Forget about that. How is this different than my contract with the radio station? Again, I agreed to it. I'm a big boy. They agreed to it. And we, have an expectation that we're going to abide by what we agreed to. And I guess I could go to them at some point the day before the draft and say, hey, I'm going to jump off the air right here, right now, if you don't pay me the big bucks, the Nico bucks. But that doesn't happen, and that won't happen. Why? Because I'm kind of a man of my word. And I think, again, this is like almost any other job where there's a contract. Nico agreed, Tennessee agreed, and then Nico decided not to keep up his end of the bargain. This isn't happening anywhere else. This is not some sort of broken system where, oh my God, it's so bad, we won't play football next year. It's a fine system. The players are getting paid. The players are fine now. There's no Kemba Walker going to sleep hungry anymore. It's fine. The system, again, do the coaches hate it? Of course they do, because they have less control. But again, are we still going to play college football? Yes, we're going to play college football. It'll be fine. It's not a system problem. Could there be some regulation? Yeah. Is it in the dire straits to where Congress needs to drop what they're doing if they're actually doing something positive to go focus? No, it's fine. We'll play games in the fall on Saturday, and everybody will be happy.
I'm so glad you asked this question, Caroline, because this is a great example of Jared, like, thinking he knows what people are saying but not paying enough attention to actually know what people are saying. Like, first of all, the answer to the question is absolutely this is a NECO thing. I mean, the system is jacked up. It needs to be fixed. The constant movement needs to be fixed. It's not a perfect system. But, like, anybody who said this proves the system is broken is an idiot. And I still am waiting for Jared to – I mean, Jared said, oh, yeah, Joe, it's his pearl-catching column. I mean, I didn't read it, but it's pearl-catching column, and the system is broken. That's not what I wrote, you freaking moron. And I didn't read anything in The Athletic that said that. You got, what, Joel Klatt or something saying it on Twitter for 10 seconds? The hilarious thing about this is Josh Tate went off on media this weekend because he correctly knows what media actually has said. And it's totally fair that media push for all this stuff, right? For NIL, for players to be paid because it's the right thing to do. I was right there with it. I mean, they should be paid. All that stuff. So he's like correctly asserting what media said, and then Jared somehow thinks media's out here just doing the bidding of the coaches. Like, that's the coaches and media have been at odds on this the entire time, Jared. Like, why? Like, if you're going to comment on these things, at least read something. Like, be informed on what people are actually saying. The easy answer, obvious answer, of course, is the NECO thing. The system isn't different either way because of this. Now, the system does need to be fixed. They need to have contracts where you have buyouts. They need to have some kind of collective bargaining. It's the only reasonable outcome here to have a situation where you can at least not have constant free agency with no penalty at all times. That is jacked up. But the entire system, I mean, you know, it's way better now that players are getting money.
Joel Klatt said 4 days ago.
Have been saying.
Joel Klatt said 4 days ago on Twitter, quote, I do find it interesting that Tennessee created this void in a sense when they fought their infraction surrounding NIL, which led to the NCAA sending a memo to its members basically saying there is no enforcement. This is a broken system and must be fixed, and the path is a CBA. Nobody's saying it, Joe.
Right. But Jared, again, and people been saying it's a broken system? Sure. But you're claiming that people said, because of this, it's a broken system. That's not what he just said. He's just reiterating what he always says, which is it's a broken system. And he absolutely is a talking head for the coaches. So you're right. There are people like that that exist. The media at large who cover this sport have been pushing for all of these changes. And look, I'll raise my hand. I did not foresee this constant movement. It's not good for the sport. Long term, I don't think it's good for fan bases. If every year you're wondering if the freshman you liked will be on your rival the next year, I don't think long term it's good for the sport at all. So it does need to be fixed. But again, you asserted Monday that people are saying, this NECO situation proves the system is broken. That's not what happened.
I mean, there was a lot of that did happen. A lot of that.
This
system is
Klatt.
Broken. It's the wild, wild west.
I know people say that all the time. That's not something that's new because of this. People have been saying that forever since NIL happened.
But you think this is a NECO problem doesn't make it not a system problem. Both things can be true. It's just more of an ego problem.
I just don't have a problem with the players being able to transfer schools, and everyone's like, oh, but the coaches don't know who's going to be on their roster.
And it's not just about transferring. It's about threatening, allegedly, reportedly, to sit out of a playoff game if he didn't get more money. Like, that's an ego problem.
See,
that's
I think that was bullcrap. I think that right there, that Josh Pate thing was total bullcrap. Like, that he comes out and says... He's like, you know, I heard that NECO and all these other players were threatening to sit out of the playoff if they didn't get more money. The system's broken. It's like, look, that may have happened. That may not have happened. Very convenient in April when all this goes down to say, this is what I heard back then, because he wasn't saying it then, and not one player sat out of the playoff for money, for NIL money.
But let's say it was true. I still don't think that's a system problem. That's a you problem.
Right, but maybe it's bullcrap, maybe it's not. But the bottom line is, once you get mechanisms in place, like, again, we don't have these things in the NFL, right? Like, we just don't have these things. And this is junior NFL. So once you get things in place where it wouldn't even be a conversation because you're under contract and, of course, you're going to play in the playoff game, you know, then it's better. It'll get there at some point.
More Jared versus Joe next. Dillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.
Big discussions.
What's the deal with this quad?
Bigger arguments.
I was right. I had my finger on the pulse of this team.
It's so dumb.
It's time.
Oh, it was the cap. Cap, cap, cap.
For Jared versus Joe.
For you, this is actually kind of well-reasoned.
Brought to you by First Horizon Bank. Big bank muscle. Small bank hustle. And by Pella Windows and Doors.
We make the rules around here now.
Now on Stillman & Company.
Let's get it on!
Caroline, the floor is yours.
Okay, Joe, you go first. What should the Titans do about L'Jarius Sneed?
At this point, find out more information. I think that if the Titans were able to get out from under the money, the guarantees, I'd take that opportunity. Secondarily because of the trouble, because we did, I think Jared sent us some and some other people sent us other stuff too, like from college going back. And it's like, man, there's a little bit too much gunplay here going on. And then this thing is just a bizarre situation, but mostly because I have no reason to think that all of a sudden he's going to be healthy and ready to be a difference making player anymore. I think he maxed out in that last year with the Chiefs. He didn't practice. He was able to go. And then it's like, okay, busted equipment. Here you go, Ran. What do you think? Ran and Chad. Oh, no, not Chad. Just Ran. Chad didn't. It wasn't Chad's fault. So if there's a way to get away from him and move on from him, then I'd definitely jump at that. If not, I probably would still want some kind of return, you know, if I didn't think it was some kind of huge issue in the locker room or something like that. I'd probably want to see if I can get any kind of return on that huge investment in him and see if he can do something on the field this year.
So here's what I would do. I would anticipate releasing L'Jarius Sneed as soon as the commissioner suspends him, which he will do. So once he suspends him for a game, the guarantee's void, and I would get rid of Sneed and the $19 million in cash that he's owed this season. I would also feel good about the fact that I would be getting $7.5 million in guaranteed money next year back, and I could recoup the signing bonus money, which I would do, to try to get back about $12 million of a $20 million salary. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is I would trade for Jalen Ramsey. Now, I think you can probably do something like a day three pick swap, where you give up a fifth and you get Ramsey in a sixth or something like that. Because the Dolphins just want to get rid of him, and he's got $21 million in guaranteed cash due this year. And I would take Jalen Ramsey, who was the 16th ranked graded corner out of 233 last year, and I would pay him. I'd like him to take a pay cut, but I would be okay in the end of the day with paying him $21 million instead of the $19 million that I'm supposed to give Sneed. And I would stick Jalen Ramsey, who, yes, is going to be 30 years old, but has played over 1,000 snaps in 5 of the last 6 seasons in that L'Jarius Sneed spot, and we go from there. And as 99% of the time, I would say, don't take the older big-name guy who's not as good as he used to be, who's going to cost money. But in this case, because I don't think you really have to give up anything to get Jalen Ramsey, that's what I would do. And I would just take the guy who I can't trust to be out there, whether it's his own stupidity or it's his bad knee that, to Joe's point, Ran and Chad apparently didn't have a problem with last year. But basically, I would just take Sneed's money and I would give it to Ramsey, and then I would get rid of Sneed the second the commissioner suspends him. And I have to believe, if the Titans want him suspended, and I think they do, the commissioner is going to suspend him, and then good riddance to bad rubbish.
He's just 16th ranked corner by who?
What's that?
Pro Football Focus?
Yes.
Oh, you're a big PFF guy now, huh?
16
on the PFF.
16 oh, out of 222. And the reason I use PFF in this case is because I am not going to go watch Jalen Ramsey corner film in Miami. I will take their word for it that he was fine last year. And again, I think him fine at the same price as Snead, who's injured and sucked last year, I think that's probably an upgrade.
Yeah. No, you use the data when it supports a take, and then you rip on it when it doesn't.
So do you think Jalen Ramsey sucks?
No, I think he's still pretty good. But
okay, fine.
Also, okay, but why? Also, then why is Miami ready to just bail on him for nothing?
That's Miami's business, not mine.
So that doesn't matter? You don't consider that when you're thinking about acquiring a player?
I mean, Jalen Ramsey.
You haven't paid attention to his career?
Jalen Ramsey, everywhere he's been at some point, becomes a pain in the ass. That is, I think, well documented.
Immediately. Yeah.
He was a pain in the ass at Florida State. He was a pain in the ass in Jacksonville. I don't think he was a pain in the ass in L.A., but they got rid of him. And I'm guessing he's a pain in the ass in Miami, though I don't know. But again,
so he's still pretty good. He's now hitting the 30s. You're going to pay him 20, and he's been known to be very polarizing in locker rooms. That's what you want. You're Brian Callahan. You're like, yeah, bring me on somebody who's a known malcontent. That sounds like a good idea. That'll probably help my cause this year.
Again, Jalen Ramsey's a pain in the ass. I'm talking about this pain in the ass that can play corner, replacing the guy that allegedly just shot up a car dealership and is injured.
I'm not comparing the two.
Well, I am, because that's the spot I'm putting him in. I don't have a corner. So what, do I have to use a draft pick now in a corner? Or am I just going to not put anybody there?
My God.
I mean, you might have to use a draft pick by the corner. That's probably what I would do.
So now I have to wait. So now I have to burn the 35th pick in the draft on a corner.
No, I did I say that? Did I say you have to use 35?
You're
going to
get a starter in the 6th round, Joe.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
So where are you getting your starting corner from?
The only answer in Jared's world is Jalen Ramsey. That's the only possible answer to find a cornerback is to trade for Jalen Ramsey.
For Jalen Ramsey, again, all I'm doing is taking Steed's money and giving it to Ramsey, right?
Cool.
Okay, if I trade for Jalen Ramsey, I know I have a starting corner at that position, correct?
Sure.
He is a starting caliber corner in the NFL.
That is no doubt.
So
yes,
instead,
he is. And very well rated by PFF.
Instead, and he plays 1,000 snaps a season. Instead, you want me to do what? Try to draft a guy in the 6th round to go out there and play corner right away in the National Football League?
Jared, I want you, if you're running the Titans, to fix 10 different position groups, most of which are still not as good as corner, even with this situation. I mean, my God, you think corner is urgent? Go look at the other positions that are desperately in need of football players.
Again, like that's why I'm getting Jalen Ramsey, because I'm using the good picks on those positions.
Okay. I mean, again, my answer to you is fix a lot of stuff. Corner, you can live with what you have right now, and you get some guys off the street for depth.
Why can't I just get Jalen Ramsey to fix what I have right now?
I want you to. I hope it happens for you. I hope it happens for all of us. It'll make it way more interesting.
Am I not allowed to have Jalen Ramsey? Why does adding Jalen Ramsey keep me from fixing the pass rush or fixing receiver?
I mean, Caroline, I don't think she asked. Like, then what cockamamie trade idea would you like to tack on to the answer? You just added it yourself.
She said, what should they do? I said they should wait for the commissioner to suspend him.
What should they do about Legarius Sneed? So, but, you know.
Get rid of him and replace him with Jalen Ramsey.
Okay. Congratulations.
Everybody here at the station, our midday show.
The fact that no one's hired you as a GM yet is just mind-boggling.
I mean, I was right about Sneed, wasn't I?
You're right about everything. And then everybody was like, no, 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 Jared. No, no, no. And you're like, no, I was right again.
I was right. I mean, and so was Caroline.
4 hours of your show every day is you saying that.
I was right, and so was Caroline about Sneed when she was the one who had to piss in everybody's Cheerios with the questioning of Sneed when he signed, and she asked him about the waivers on the guarantee, and everyone got all mad at her.
Hey, but he told me to not worry about luxurious needs knees.
He did tell you that.
He should have worried about luxurious needs temper.
No, it was a quad, Caroline. Did you not hear what the Titans told everyone? It was a quad.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was the quad.
Which is connected.
I can't keep track of all the things that the Titans
told. Willie Donick today still thinks it's a quad, not a knee. It's amazing. Amazing. Caroline was next.
Okay. Jared, you go first. Should the Titans bring back Andrew Brunette?
You mean the Predators?
That is exactly what I mean, yes.
No. I mean, Trotz is coming on at 5 o'clock. I'm going to ask him about it. My gut tells me they're bringing him back. I wouldn't. I think the Predators are going to chalk up this disastrous season that is ending tonight to, you know, we just started off 0-5. We just never got into the right rhythm. We tried to put these pieces together too soon. It didn't gel fast enough. We've learned our ways, and we go on into next year, and we're going to draft Michael Mesa, or we're going to draft James Higgins, or whatever, and on from there. I think that they need to shake it up, and they have too many non-movable contracts, so the way to shake it up for me is to fire the coach. I like Brunette. I think he's a good coach. I think he would win somewhere else, but this situation right now, I think they should fire the coach. They won't, but I think they should.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, I think Andrew Brunette's good. I think he's a sharp guy. I think coaching success, I would predict coaching success for him in this league. But if you're the Preds and you're looking at the situation, I don't know how you change the math enough because of just what you're stuck with in terms of players. If you don't make a coaching change and try to come up, system, personnel, whatever it is, like, I think you have to shake it up more than you can do just with whatever player moves Barry Trotz is going to try this offseason. Obviously, they hope that they're in the top three and can draft someone who can come in and help, and then he's going to do some things. And maybe there's a big trade that doesn't look likely. It doesn't look like a player is movable and he can figure something out. But to me, I just think if it was either or and I was making a decision, I would do it just to try to really shake things up because the changes needed are so dramatic. In a lot of cases, it's individual player improvement starting between the pipes. But I think you'd have to do it. I think you have to do it.
Caroline, who wins this week?
You have to fire the coach. I mean, this season was a disaster. So we agree on that. Joe wins this week, and this is why. So Joe and I both agree that this is much more of a Nico problem, that Nico is way worse off now than Tennessee is. And that's not to say that Tennessee is all squeaky clean. Like, Tennessee's totally screwed, but they at least didn't screw themselves. Because if they would have bent the knee and given Nico what he asked for, every single player on that roster is waiting in line in front of Josh Heupel's office, waiting for a pay raise. And Tennessee also would have screwed the rest of college football. So Tennessee is screwed. Nico is screwed. But the only winner in this situation, I think, as a whole, is college football in its totality. But Joe wins because I think that Nico is in a much, much worse position than Tennessee is.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We haven't told David Reed about the bell. Congratulations, ding, 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 Joe. Ding. Congratulations, Joe. Great stuff.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, big congratulations on your real ID. All right, Fitz joins us next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. There you go. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. Joined now by Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Fitz, we jump right into it. It looks like the Titans are going to take Cam Ward, but Derek Carr wants out of New Orleans, supposedly going to have surgery if they make him stay. He didn't have the choice to restructure his contract, and the Saints sent everybody to the Cam Ward Pro Day. Fitz, does this throw a wrench into what may go down Thursday night in the draft?
I don't think it throws a wrench into what goes down in the draft, but I do think that Derek Carr, you know, he's not long for the New Orleans Saints. So, you know, now it gets tricky because, yeah, the Saints at 9, I fully expect to take a quarterback, right? So now the question becomes, what's that mean for Carr? The salary cap is a little bit constrictive for the next couple of years on his number, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he forces his way out to cut him. And then my question, I guess, to you is, if I'm the Titans, why wouldn't I look at trying to sign Derek Carr to come in case Cam Ward isn't, you know, your day one starter? Like, I still think the best version of Cam Ward comes from not getting on the field early in the season. I think development's better for him. So I think the more interest, like the more likely outcome is that Derek Carr is on the open market, and then the question is, do the Titans have it?
Why is nobody interested in trading up to number one? The Giants seem to, you know, the Titans keep creaking the door open that they may be interested in trading, you know, if it's historic, but the Giants seem to not be interested in going that route. The Saints, who knows if they're going to end up interested in going that route. It seems like everybody's saying, Cam Ward's not that good, and yet the Titans seem to be all in on Ward. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's living, breathing, eating proof right there of exactly how most of the league feels about Cam Ward. I mean, think about what you've got. Like, you haven't heard a definitive statement from the Titans basically come out and say, we won't take any offers, which is, you know, we back heard the opposite. Well, we'll take a historic offer. Okay, you and I have talked about the fact that, you know, if you love him that much, why would you listen to any offers? Now look at who's picking after that. So you start thinking about picking it too for Cleveland. It's Kevin Stefanski, somebody that's wildly respected around the NFL for his ability as an offensive coach, right? Like, he's not paying the Kings ransom to move up. Daboll's desperate. They're not paying the King ransom to move up. The Raiders decided to invest in Geno Smith rather than to pay a King's ransom to move up. The Jets decided they'd rather just see what happens with Field Yates, like, or Field Yates. Justin Fields, I feel he hates to make a hell of a quarterback too. But you get what I'm saying. You go up and down the list, nobody, these teams that should be aggressive that in last year's drafts would have paid anything to try and move up into the top three, all of those teams that I mentioned that are desperate at the position are like, nah, that's okay. I'm not willing to give future assets for them because they don't believe in Cam Ward.
Fitz, what do you make of the Giants working out Shedeur Sanders tomorrow? You know, it sounds like Shedeur is falling, and now the Giants at 3 call and say, hey, we want to work out. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think that they want to work him out in case he falls to a situation where they move back into the first round for him. Like, I genuinely, the closer we get to the draft, the more clear it's become from everybody I talk to. Nobody believes that Shedeur is gone in the first 6, 7, 8 picks. So the question then becomes, you know, does Kellen Moore with the Saints prefer Shedeur or Jackson Dart? I've heard from several people that the Saints seem to prefer Jackson Dart. So, like, now all of a sudden, if that were to be the case, what are we looking at? Like, 21, where Pittsburgh is? So, I think the Giants are working about to do due diligence in case they want to trade back into the first round to try and acquire. But in the middle of the first round, could get really interesting with some of these teams that don't really have a need at the quarterback position. And then the question is Pittsburgh out of desperation willing to move up, or are one of the teams that are picking at the top of the second round going to move back in to get ahead of Pittsburgh? I think that will genuinely be interesting next Thursday.
Why is Aaron Rodgers not signed with the Steelers?
Now, that's a great question. And I I think Pittsburgh, they could easily be stuck here. You know, whatever the reason is, it doesn't – we haven't gotten any clear indication of anything. So is it just because he's not going to come in until he feels like coming in? And if that's the case, are you really happy with him? I think the Steelers can wake up on draft night and be stuck like they were the year they drafted Kenny Pickett, where it's like, well, we're picking and we need one, so we're going to take this one. Like, I genuinely think that could happen to Pittsburgh. I'm stunned that one of the smartest organizations in all of sports hasn't been able to be smart about several times when it comes to the acquisition of quarterbacks.
Last one for you, Jason Fitz is with us. What is kind of the best gossip you've heard so far around the draft that would be a real shocker for Thursday night?
4 quarterbacks in the first round. I've heard it a couple
Isn't
of times.
Isn't that just absurd, though? Jalen Milroe is not going in the first round.
I think the only prevailing theory is that if Cleveland doesn't take a quarterback and they have the first pick in the second round, if you want to take Jalen Milroe, you might have to move up ahead of him. And I do believe that there's going to be somebody out there that's like, oh, look at the athleticism. Like, somebody's going to be tantalized and they're going to have that whole, like, broken relationship. I can fix her. Like, that's what they're going to be saying about Jalen Milroe. And look, I just hope to God if that's the case, it's not a place like the Giants where suddenly they're going to talk themselves into playing them. Like, that kid, he's years away from seeing the field. And even then, I wouldn't bet my house on anything.
Jason Fitz, as always, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Fitz, thank you for accommodating our schedule today. Great stuff. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great week.
Yep, Jason Fitz on the program. Stillman and Company, we continue. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.